It's all right. right, that was Miss Terry Tobin doing her cover of Bad Habits. Now, it's been written about Miss Tobin that she punctuates each line with heart and soul, speaking to every generation with every melodic phrase. Prepare to be touched by her honesty as she expresses her unwavering admiration of her first true love, music. Miss Tobin Soul Tracks 2011 Reader's Choice Awards and Independent Music Awards nominee is here on Conversations, and we're gonna talk to her right now. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
I'm so glad to be here. I really am.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? You were born music, weren't you?
You know, everybody asks me, you know, like, when did I decide that I was going to do music? And I really don't even remember a moment that I didn't have it in my life. So, you know, I just say music found me. So, I mean, back then I didn't realize, you know, that would be my career. But
right.
I used to sing all the theme songs to, you know, commercials and TV shows and, you know, driving my family crazy with that. But I guess now they're happy that
sure
I found a way
are.
To use it constructively instead of driving them crazy.
Well, they're happy and we're happy too. Now, I've read that you were chosen at the age of 10 to do background for Jeffrey Osborne.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. I think at the time I didn't realize the magnitude of it. I grew up, well, my mother used to listen to LTV, so I knew who he was, but it didn't click. But I was in a community choir prior to being selected to sing for him, and because of that, it kind of gave me a little bit more of visibility. And so when I got the call, I was just excited to be able to be in the studio with, you know, in a real studio, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And went to, I think it was Lion's Share Studio, which, of course, as a kid, I read every single liner note there was. So I knew of the studio. I knew who the engineer was by name. I mean, that's how committed I was to music. I looked at every single producer, songwriter, everything. So I knew everybody by name, not knowing what they looked like. So when I walked in and I was like, oh, is Vic Parry going to be doing the engineering? And they all kind of looked at me like, where did this kid come from?
I'm sure.
but yeah, that was my first professional gig. And, you know, I enjoyed the experience. You know, sometimes when you meet legends, in a sense, people don't necessarily measure up to your expectation. And I will never forget that experience because he was so warm and just so, you know, so supportive and encouraging. And, you know, we just had a really good time with him and his background singers. And then, of course, I got my first real check, and I was pretty happy.
Oh,
I was pretty happy
girl.
With that. To be so young and to get a check that, you know, that amount, I was like, whoa, I could do this.
Yeah. I can't think of a better way to earn a living, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, as a kid, then you see more than one zero. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, let's do this again. So, no, but it was a great experience. And I have not had the opportunity to cross paths with Jeffrey since then, but I'm working on that. I've actually talked to someone who hosts jazz festival, but he's one of the featured artists, and so we're trying to work out a time to when I can connect with him again, because like I said, that was such an amazing experience, and I want him to know how he kind of set the pace, because, you know, since then I've had other sessions with other people, and I won't name names, but, you know, from different genres,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been that pleasant, so I definitely want people to know that I appreciate them when they definitely make it a positive experience for me.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And also, you are a beauty pageant winner.
Yeah. gosh, my mom had me in just about everything growing up, and so I started, I think, my first beauty pageant, I was probably three. But I grew up in Arizona. I was born in Arizona, but, you know, at the time it wasn't real diverse, which is multiculturally challenged.
Yes,
And
I understand.
so I was always the only black kid in, you know, in the competitions. And so I would, you know, I would compete, but it was really for the sake of competing, you know, not to go too far into it. But back then, the doors weren't open for us, you know, very much. But when I got older, you know, I did a couple of other ones. After that, I was actually crowned Miss Universal Team for San Bernardino County. And that was, I was astonished because, you know, there were so many other talented girls in the competition. So to win that and did a couple of other ones in Pasadena. So I just, it's interesting that mother put me in those things, but I never really looked at myself as a beauty queen or anything. For me, it was like another opportunity for me to sing, you know, to do what I really want to do.
Yeah.
So I had to put on the frou-frou dress just to be able to sing. So, but no, I, you know, I've had some great experiences. So
yeah, so you're very diverse. I guess that is thanks to mom and dad, huh? They just kept you busy, kept you doing stuff, huh?
Yeah, she, you know, my mother was very, you know, she wasn't a stage mother, but she was very, she was very supportive of what I did. Like I said, they knew early on that, you know, singing was my thing. And so any opportunity that came about, I mean, she heard about it, you know, she was taking me to auditions and different things. And so, you know, that definitely, and then, you know, my mom's not a singer per se. But she's the one that taught me songs. Like, I first started singing in church, and when everybody else was doing Easter speeches, I had to sing every time. And so she taught me the songs most of the time so that I could do it. And so it's funny to me now because I clown her about her singing, but she, you know, she's the one that taught me how to, you know, how to do it. So, of course, she wants to tell everybody she taught me everything that I know. But, you know, I'll just leave that alone. It is Mother's Day weekend.
That's right.
I'll leave it alone.
That's right. Let her have her time in the spotlight, too.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so you've got, do you have just two or you have more than two? I'm not really clear if you got something or something's on the horizon.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I released one in 2011, which is called Love Infinity. Mm-hmm. At the end of that year, I also released a Christmas project called Christmas Child. And then last year I released So Good to Me. And I am working on a new project. I'd hoped that it would be this fall. I can't really say that it's going to happen. You know, I'm very particular about when I put product out. And to give you an idea, when I did Love Infinity, it took me 10 years to really put it out because I kept saying, it's missing something. I need something else. And finally, my manager at the time had to just tell me, look, you need to go ahead and do that. And so this one, I, you know, because it's you know, the third project and, you know, people have been asking me for new material, I want to make sure that it's right. I'm going to make sure that it's everything I want it to be. So if it's ready for the fall, then it will be. But if not, it'll be the first part of next year.
Okay, well, either way, we are waiting for it. And, of course, we do have those two CDs to listen to. By the way, I'd like to go ahead and play the title track from your most recent.
Okay.
Okay, which is So Good to Me. All right.
So Good to Me with Morris Allen, yes.
Yes, yes. This is a beautiful song, and we'll be right back, okay?
You, babe, I said to myself, this could be the one. You always showed respect for me, first my friend and now my only one. And just when I had almost given up, you came and then you changed. change my life, and I just want the world to know you're the best thing in my life. You fill me up each day. You're in every breath I take, and I can tell you just why. You're so good to me. You give me what I need with a passion warm and sweet, and I can tell you just why. You're so good to me.
From the very day we met, always been right there for me. No matter what the circumstance, you've always got the remedy. And even when I'm feeling down, you say maybe it'll be alright. And I just gotta let you know, girl, you're the best thing in my life. Oh,
Crochet in the chat room. He's one of our regulars and a musician himself, and he says he loves this song. It is beautiful.
So, aww, yes, thank you. I co-wrote it with some great writers, and it was written a while ago, but you know, when we recorded it, it was kind of the first time that I ever recorded a song. How do I explain it? I recorded a song that I actually could feel the words, like the words that I was saying were so on point with where I was in my life at that time. And usually, like when Love Infinity, I wrote all these love songs, but I wasn't really in love, so to speak. And and to be able to sing that song truly from the heart, and of course to have my friend Morris, you know, along for the ride with me, that was just, it's an amazing experience. And we actually have a lot of people have been hitting us up saying they want us to sing it at their weddings.
I know that.
And but the funny thing is, a lot of people that are asking us to do it, they don't even have a husband yet or a fiance yet. But they've already decided that that's what we're going to do.
So, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so also you went to Howard University, so you lived in the D.C. area for a while, right?
I did. That's to me that's home. I mean,
I was just about to say, I'm gonna have to claim you.
Okay. this is definitely you know, I've been trying to get back here for the longest time in terms of living here.
Uh-huh.
You know, things just haven't worked out that way. But I'm blessed to be able to come here and work and spend time with what I feel is, you know, my second home. And you know, that's the best time of my life. Anybody, of course, I'm biased, but anybody that goes to Howard, of course, they know the experience there is something that you can't even tell anybody about. You just have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And having been there and built the core relationships that I did there, you know, I just feel, you know, more blessed for it. But yeah, so I lived in D.C., lived in Maryland. I've lived all over the place. But yeah, that's definitely... definitely is a place in my heart.
Yeah, girl. Mm-hmm. Howard alum. Love it. Okay, so you're are you touring right now, or are you just basically working on your new project?
No, I'm doing some spot dates here and there. I'm actually doing a show tomorrow in Baltimore with Jeff Majors, and Jane Karn. And then actually, we'll probably be back in the DMV in the next couple of weeks. We're looking to do a show on Memorial Day weekend. I'll be in L.A. Next month, working on some stuff in the fall in, you know, different cities. I know I'm going to be in Tucson, Virginia, I want to say North Carolina. But, yeah, so I'm looking to, you know, now that summer's in, you know, I'm a single mom, so a lot of times I have to schedule, you know, the longer runs. During the summertime, of course. So I'm looking to do a lot more shows, you know, so you're going to see me pop up in different places in the summertime because that's my prime travel time.
Okay, you said you're going to be doing a show on Memorial Day weekend. Is that in the DMV area?
It is. It's in D.C. It's on the 25th. I'm still getting details from the organizer. It was... you know, we had talked about doing a show. We were actually going to do it in the fall, but then the organizer decided he wanted to do it sooner. So we're trying to get it together now. So, yeah, it should be the 25th. And anybody that's on Facebook, of course, can find out on my Facebook page, facebook.com/ Terry Tobin, TRITOBIN. Go to my fan page, and I make all the announcements on my shows there. But yeah, so all the dates that I'm talking about will all be on my page. And if anybody's in different cities and they don't feel like they're being represented properly, I would definitely encourage them reaching out to me on Facebook and letting me know what city that they're in. If they know venues they'd like to see me at or promoters that they know of, we'll definitely reach out and try to bring this music out to them as well.
Hey, that's what's up. And you know what? I'm going to be keep my eyes peeled. Because, you know, I'm here.
Yeah,
so
do that.
I want to come if, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I will let you know for sure when the ink is dry, we will definitely let you know.
Okay, well, you know, that's a broadcast day for me. But for you, honey, I'll do a rerun so I can come and say hi. Because I love the way you sound on your tracks.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, honey. That's what it's all about. That wonderful, wonderful thing called music.
Yeah, it's such a, you know, I was actually talking to a cousin of mine because I was concerned, and I literally do get concerned about people that don't have any kind of music in their life. Like, even if it's not my music or it's the kind of music that I listen to. Mm-hmm. I just know the kind of healing power that it has for me. And anytime I meet someone who doesn't have it, I'm always concerned, like, well, what do you do then? Like, yeah. I can't imagine life without it. Like, even if I wasn't performing, I have to have it in my life to some degree, you know. And so it's just something like, you know, I talk to different people in different countries and different languages. And, you know, we might have a language barrier when, you know, they're wanting to express their appreciation or whatever. But, you know, when the music comes on and they feel it, you know, to me, I feel like it can withstand, you know, a language barrier if they're listening to my music and they're feeling the heart that was in it or the soul that was put into it. So I'm just blessed to be able to be a vessel for that, because, you know, God gave me a gift and I just appreciate him, you know, seeing fit for me to have it, you know, for me to be able to share it with people.
Well, you know, I know he is happy because you, my dear, are doing the thing with the talent that he gave you. You are making it work. You are making it so beautiful. And
thank you. Well, you know, like a lot of people, I was working a 9-to-5 job before I did music full time. And when I got laid off from my job, I was hustling, trying to find a job. And it was during the beginning of the recession, and it was hard to get another job. And I kept saying, like, what am I going to do? Like, what can I do to support my family in between time? You know, I decided to go back to school as well, but I'm like, I got to do something. And so I was like, you know, I tell you, God whispered to me and said, you know, I already gave you what you need. And so at the time I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to, you know, do that full time. And I was really wondering whether I still had it in my heart to really, you know, go hard with it. And, you know, it was just a blessing to be able to put out the first record and for it to be received the way that it was, you know, particularly in the UK and in the Netherlands. I was floored by it. But to me, it basically showed me, as usual, you know, God always, even when you think that things aren't, you know, you may think you might have fell off his radar sometimes, but he's always there, always has a plan. And so, you know, I'm not going to pass around a collection plate, but I am going to say that, you know, at least this is what I believe. And I couldn't do this without him, for sure.
Baby, you know, you are right at home here, because that's what we preach all the time. You know, the thing about it is, you didn't know what to do, but you were open enough to hear God tell you or direct you where you were supposed to be.
Absolutely.
And the rest is history.
And even when I write my music, I feel like if there's too much clutter in my life, in my world, in my mind, I can't hear him whisper to me lyrics and songs, because there are times that I knew that I had the pen in my hand, but I was amazed that I wrote it when I know it wasn't me, because, you know, it just came to me the way that it did. And you know, when I'm in my creative mode, I have to make sure that I can hear him, because there were, like I said, there were songs that were written years ago even that I didn't even have a point of reference. Like, for instance, on my first album, there's a song called Why, and it basically talks about, you know, basically a single mother who's the father of the child, for whatever reason, is not in the picture. And the question is, what do I say when he asks why? You know, why his father's not here? And I wasn't a parent at the time, wasn't even thinking about it. Literally the song just came to me. I was sitting in the studio. The entire song came to me in like 20 minutes. And then life imitated art years later. So that was my first indicator of how, you know, God knows me better than I know me. And it was just one of those moments where I feel like, man, you know, when I listen closely, you know, he gives me what I need. So.
Amen, sister.
Amazing thing.
It is, truly. Okay, well, I'm going to play that song you mentioned, Why. I think I have that. I think I saw that. So I want to play that later, but I had already queued up this song, which is from your Infinity, Love Infinity CD, and the name is Wide.
Okay. All right. That's my mama's favorite.
Well, this is for mama. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, right?
breeze on a southern day. A glass of lemonade with quenching power. I didn't wanna put it out there, but you got my love on lock and I'm on fire. You knew it from the start. My heart beating so hard, I'm at the point of no return. Quiet as it's kept, it's the least of my concerns. Down and marry, find a man like you whose kids I'd carry. I would gladly give my dowry to a gentleman with southern charm like you. You knew it from the start. My heart beating so hard. All the fellas wanna see what I got. All I can see is what they're not. Yeah. Whiter than the ocean.
You got me wide. Wide open. So
wide open.
My arms can't reach.
Open.
The ocean. You got me wide. Wide open.
So wide. Everything I got. Why? Why? My baby got me open. Ooh.
Just have one of those voices. It's so smooth. No matter what you're singing, it's just like draws people in, you know?
Aw, that's so sweet, man. I hate to say it, but I don't hear what everybody else hears. But I'm just, you know, I'm appreciative when people, you know, when they feel it. You know, I grew up listening to Donny Hathaway, and he's like my all-time favorite. And the one thing that I always wanted to do was to be able to communicate the same type of love and soul that he did, no matter what it is that I'm singing about. And, you know, I still feel like I have a ways to go, but I just, you know, I appreciate it when people actually can identify or they find something in it that moves them. I'm just,
you know, it's interesting that you brought up Donny Hathaway, because I read somewhere that most of your influences were male singers.
Yes, they are. And it didn't dawn on me, you know, growing up, I never really thought about it. Like, I remember the first song that I sang outside of church, I think, was a Natalie Cole song. And so I've always loved her. But I don't know what it is about the male singers. I think, and maybe most of them were tenors as well, so I could sing their stuff and like even do a duet with them without them even knowing that I was doing a duet with them. But you know, like Luther and Marvin and Prince and Stevie and, you know, of course, Donnie, I just, I can't explain it. It's just always been there. And it's not even to say that I don't have an appreciation for the women that came before me, because I absolutely do. You know, Aretha and Patti, and I mean, the list just goes on and on. And Gladys, oh my gosh. You know, there's so many rich voices out there. And I don't know what happened. I don't know where that came from, but
that's okay, because you know, yours are among them. Trust me, your voice is among them.
That's major, but
yes, it is.
I'll get there one day. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know
we got a ways to go. I feel like I'm in my infancy stage right now.
But I think it's very important to remain humble. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you
want.
But it doesn't take away from your talent. I'm telling you. I don't want you. I'm not trying to give you a swollen head or anything because you are perfect just the way you are. But you got it going on, honey.
Thank you. That is so sweet, man. I have no words. I'm just, like I say, I'm always surprised when someone says they can identify with, you know, something that I wrote or whatever, and share a quick story with you. I like I said, when I wrote So Good to Me, it was basically kind of writing things about the things that I wanted to have in my life. And you know, prior to then, I had wrote a lot of songs that were about, you know, heartbreak and how, you know, how he did me wrong and, you know, all these different things. And I decided that when I started seeing that life was imitating art, I said I wanted to put positivity out there so that it would come back. And I wrote a song called Someone, which actually initially was a country song, because I write all kinds of music, but it was initially a country song that I was going to pitch, and we actually remixed it into a soul record. But anyway, it's about romantic love, and it's about, you know, something real, something nice, something beautiful in my life. You know, the first line says, sometimes I wonder will my prince ever come. And there's this after-school program that I work with that I'm actually going to be doing more work with in this summer and the next fall. And, you know, a lot of the kids, you know, they come from different, you know, different backgrounds and have hard lives and just different things that they're dealing with. And, you know, in the foster system. And anyway, so this one girl apparently was riding the car with a friend of mine who's one of the staff members there. And she said every time she would get in the car with her, she would want her to play. She'd say, well, play your friend's song. And so every time she would get in the car, she would play my song, Someone. And she said the little girl would just close her eyes and just go wherever she went and just sang that song, you know, something real, something beautiful in my life. And that was the first time that I actually, of course, heard it in a different context, because, of course, I wrote it, you know, from a romantic standpoint. But for a little girl to be able to find something in it, for her to, you know, find some positivity, man, I get goosebumps every time I think about it, because it's, again, it's just an example of how, you know, I feel like I'm just a vessel. But, you know, to be able to be that little light for that little girl, just, man, and then I have the chance to meet her, it, you know, I was done. But it was, you know, but it's kind of thing that makes me continue to do this.
Yeah, it reminds me that, you know, like you said, you wrote it romantically, but she doesn't know anything about romance on that level.
Exactly.
And she got something from it. So you never know how people are going to interpret your music and what they're going to take from it, but they always get something that they need, which is the most beautiful thing.
Right.
That's the most beautiful thing. Now,
yeah, it's just a blessing.
I'm going to play another song. I think I'm going to go ahead and play The Why. You keep mentioning songs, and I'm like, oh, I got to play that. But we don't even have all night. So, you know.
Well, I don't want to lead you in any particular direction.
It's fine. I just think because of that, you telling that story and the way it made her feel, that we should play it, because, you know, you never know. I just feel like we just go where we're led, and that's what I do.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go ahead and listen to Why, and then I'll be back. And I want to tell you now, because I don't want to spring it on you at the very time that I'm asking you for it, but I always ask artists when they come on to give a word of encouragement or knowledge or advice to the people who are coming behind you. You know what I'm saying? Because this independent artist road is a hard one. And
yes, indeed.
We got to keep each other encouraged to stay on our journey and stay on our path. So, you know, before you leave,
okay
I'm going to ask you to do
okay,
that.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So right now we're going to listen to Why, and then we'll be back with more Terry. We'll be right back.
for answers, but coming up nothing. I don't understand where all the struggle and conflict came from. You said you needed a break, a getaway, a little space and time. Well, your eyes told me you weren't coming back. No. People don't understand. It's hard to explain when you don't even know yourself. I wish I could get away, a little space and time. But when I look in his eyes, I have reason to stay. Oh,
about writing it with, you know, just writing it with no real knowledge or experience in that situation, that is crazy. It just goes to show you that he always gives you what you need. Maybe not for you, maybe it's for somebody else.
Right, for somebody else, exactly.
Like, and case in point, you know, you can't know this because you weren't here, but I always start my show with some positive, either gospel, inspirational music of some sort. And today I had to start it with your song, Rain On Me, because that song, when I heard it at the exact moment that I needed to hear those lyrics. I'm telling you, because, you know, I always find, and it seems to me that this is true for most people, whenever you are about to make a breakthrough, it's like everything comes at you like obstacles and troubles mm-hmm. and problems because you're getting ready to break through. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going through that right now because I'm trying to get something started. I got a nonprofit. I'm trying to get it off the ground, and it seems like everywhere I turn, you know, my money is tight and it's getting tighter, and everybody is got mm-hmm. their hand in my pocket, and people are not doing what they promised me they were going to do, and I'm like, oh God, am I really supposed to be doing this? But that song right there, honey, cleared it all up for me. Okay, so I just want you to know, now you got another story about how your song touched somebody. Okay.
Oh my goodness, that is just, you know, because that was my personal testimony, you know what I mean? And the interesting thing is, before I released Love Infinity, I was working on a gospel album with the record company, and you know, the record company went under, and they, you know, it never came out, and just some things just happened with them, and so the project never came out. And the interesting thing is, there was always this discussion about whether I could or should do gospel and secular music. And of course, having grown up in the church, it's always been the topic of discussion. And I got to the point where I felt like I said, God gave me the gift, and I'm using it. I'm using it to give him glory, and I'm using it to touch lives in other ways as well. And so there was, you know, always this conflict. And so even when I was about to release So Good to Me and I decided to put Rain on Me, people were asking me, like, why are you doing that? You know, and I'm like, why not? Who's to say I can't? Who's going to tell me I can't do it? You know, that's really my attitude about it. But the reality is the fact that, and I always say this, if that, whatever song I put out, if one person can identify with it, then I've done my job, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like, you know, my music isn't for everybody, but it's for somebody. Yes. And the fact that, you know, you were able to use it like I do occasionally when I need to go back mm-hmm. and remember that, you know, he does have our back. He, you know, he's always there. Even like I say, when you think you're not on the radar anymore, he's always there. And, you know, that song just really, you know, it ministers to me probably more than people know, you know, because, you know, people think you just put it out. But, man, it's, you know, and with anything, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. You're not always perfect. You're not always on point with everything you should do. And so when I need to, just like the song says, you know, you just need to humbly pray. So
that's right. You just got to fall down on your knees.
Man, I'm just amazed. And I'm thank you for sharing that with me, though, because like I said, you know, I'm always just floored when somebody can identify with it. And I just look to God and say, okay, well, you knew what you were doing,
right,
you know.
Right.
So, but man, that's a blessing right there.
Yes, it is. You are a blessing to me. So, you know, thank you for doing what you do. Thank you. For following your path. It's beautiful. Okay, so let me, well, I know I wanted to ask you a question. You performed mm-hmm. with quite a few artists in, you know, in the industry, big artists, big names. We won't go into all that. But I was wanting to ask you, is there any artists living or dead that you would like to perform with?
Man. there's a lot of them that I could run off the list, even the influences that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could pick just one for selfish reasons. I would say Jamie Foxx.
Really?
Because of my, you know, the love affair that he and I have. He doesn't know we have it, but he he's been kind of funny about us doing music together. You know, he doesn't want to mix business with pleasure, and I, you know, I get that, but you know, it's time for us to do this duet finally, you know, and so it's, you know, it's going to happen. I just waiting patiently.
That's right.
The same thing goes for D'Angelo, you know, if he's listening, I'm ready for him too.
Oh,
I don't know if you know the story behind Can I Get That on my first record, but That song was written in response to his How Does It Feel video. And so as far as, you know, from that standpoint, for my own selfish reasons, those are the two that I would love to collaborate with. But, you know, I would actually love to collaborate with, you know, some of the other female artists that are out there, you know, that are currently out there, Lettucey or, you know, Jill, because people don't normally do that. Like, when Brandy and Monica did it, of course, everybody had to automatically say that there was beef, you know.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, the reality is that, you know, I think sisters can get together and just make music together. And, I'm hopeful that that'll happen one day.
Oh, I'd love to hear you and Lettucey do something together. Oh, my gosh, that would be awesome.
I would absolutely. I mean, I saw her before she blew up. I saw her in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
A lot of my friends there, they had been following her from, you know, from early days. And, man, I can't even put it into words. I knew from that moment on that she, you know, she had it. She was just amazing. And you hear her instrument, it's ridiculous.
Mm.
So, but yeah, no, I would love to work with, you know, any of them, really.
If
I had to pick somebody that's living,
uh-huh,
and that would just blow me away, probably Prince.
Ooh, I love Prince. He's one of my favorite artists of all time.
The downside to that, though, and that's why it's hard for me to pick anybody, because I probably wouldn't really be able to stay on point. I'd be so busy listening to them that it would be hard for me to, you know, stay in my lane and do what I'm supposed to do, because I'm, you know, I don't get starstruck, but when somebody is just a genius, it's very difficult for me to just remember that I'm supposed to be working too, you know? Man,
I think I'd like to,
yeah, that would be wonderful.
Chrisette Michelle, what's her name? Oh, I can't your two voices, I think, would blend very nicely together. That's just my opinion.
Oh yeah, I would love to work with her too. I love her writing. I love her spirit. You know, so yeah, there's a lot of women out there that, you know, that I have a lot of respect for, because, you know, like you say, this business is tough. And for those of us that are still on that grind and still doing it, you know, it's, you know, having been through major labels and then not on one, and, you know, it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, just got to keep on.
Now that you mentioned that, I know there are a lot of differences between being on a label and being independent, and I don't know if you can make a distinction as to which you prefer. Overall,
well, it's been alluded that I'm anti-major label, and I won't say I'm anti-major label, but I will say that the way the business was designed in the very beginning, it basically favored the label, whereas the artists, who do the most work, of course, mm-hmm, don't necessarily get their lion's share, basically. And you know, to be on a major label, to me, it's just like having a glorified loan. You know, you look at the artists, and people always, you know, talk bad about, you know, the artists that have, you know, gone through bankruptcy after having millions of dollars. But the reality is, yeah, some of it could have been overspending, but most of it is because the label pays for everything in advance. Everything you see on the videos, the cars, the helicopters, whatever it is that they're renting, they got to pay that back. So at the end of the day, when the label has cleared all their expenses, there's very little left.
Right.
And so from that standpoint, you know, in my case, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So I'd rather keep my little nothing without having to hand it over to, you know, to anybody else. And I mean, with that being said, you know, the positive with having a major label, of course, is, you know, the money that they do put into it, into marketing and getting you visibility in places that you wouldn't ordinarily get.
Mm-hmm.
And as an independent artist, it makes it tough because as much as they say payola doesn't exist, you know, they don't call it payola anymore, but it's basically the same thing. You got to pay to get on,
mm-hmm,
and you got to have that, they call it marketing now.
Yes.
And you got to have that money in order to get on major radio stations. And if you don't have that, then, you know, it's an uphill battle. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I created my own label and my own company out of what I felt was the need for me to keep, you know, peace of mind. I mean, the name of my company is called Soul to Keep, and I felt like, well, there's two different reasons why it's called Soul to Keep, but one of which was because I wanted to make sure that if I could do my music, that if I did my music, then I wouldn't have to sell my soul in order to continue to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the other portion, of course, is I call my sunshine, and so soul, of course, in Spanish is soul. But anyway, I just feel like, you know, there's so many different things, different avenues that people as young artists get into that, you know, can be misleading, you know, the money and the,
yes,
you know, the stuff that's flashy. And unfortunately, you know, nothing is free.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pay for it at some point. So,
and I think that, I'm not an artist, but to me, in my mind, the only downside to being an independent artist is that you have to do all the legwork yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, I always tell, it ain't for punks, that's for sure. You know,
I love that.
You got to be, you really have to have thick skin. Mm-hmm. You've got to be, I mean, it's tough. It's really, really tough. And you got to be organized. And I can't even say that I'm as organized as I should be. You know, I've had some really great people on my team that have really kept me on point. Darla Tobin Blakes was, man, she was so instrumental in keeping me on task when I first came out. And, you know, I still give her props for that. We don't work together anymore, but, you know, we have a great relationship. And, you know, any chance I get, I try to give her props because, you know, she kept me on point when I really just didn't think I could do it. There are times I wanted to quit, and she was like, "If you don't, yeah. if you don't get up right. and go do what you need to do, we're gonna have a problem." You know, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And back then, I used to tell people that, you know, my label and my whole machine was a business of three. It was a team of three. It was Darla, me, and God, because there were things that we were getting that we just had no clue mm-hmm. how it came to be, but we, you know, we knew it was just God, you know, we got so much favor. And so, but anyway, I think that, you know, as artists, it makes it very difficult because not only do you have to do all the legwork, but you got to pay for everything.
Yes.
And, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, contrary to what my son believes, but,
that's all children, I'm telling you.
You know, but so, you know, there's a sacrifice that comes into it as well. You know, when you've got to foot the bill to get everything pressed up or, you know, do your own marketing. But I have to say that thanks to social networking, that has been a saving grace for, you know, a lot of us because, you know, we get to actually get an audience engaged in our stuff, you know,
yes.
well before most people would have if you haven't had a chance to play in their city. You know, they see you on Facebook and they get to interact with you and hear your music. And,
yes.
you know, 20 years ago, you know, I'm sure people would have no clue that this is where we'd be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's the positive, there's pros and cons about it because they say because of digital age, you know, you've got more piracy and all that. But people are going to bootleg you regardless. They bootleg
yeah.
back in the day and they're going to do it,
they,
you know.
Even when they were on vinyl, they bootleg, so...
Exactly, exactly. And, but, you know, my thing is you can't control it. You know, you can do everything you can to try to safeguard it. But, you know, someone could buy your CD today and go in their studio or wherever they go, duplicate it and sell it themselves. I mean, that's just unfortunate, but that's just the way that it works. And because I tend to not hold a grudge, I just let, and this is throughout my entire life and every relationship, if somebody does me dirty, I don't spend my time getting all, you know, in their face about it because that's God's bottle. That's not mine.
Exactly.
And if, you know, they can sleep at night because they're taking money out of my hands or any other artist's hands and, you know, we need to feed our kids. And that's something that they've got to contend with God.
Yes.
That's the way I see it.
Okay, well, I want to go ahead and take a moment and play someone, all right?
And okay, okay.
And then come back, if you don't mind, to do as I asked you earlier.
Give Absolutely.
Or whatever, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder, will my prince ever come? Will he ever meet me with open arms? Someone so special around my heart, he knows his way. Until then, I'll be waiting for the day when love steps in for always. I need a
another beautiful song. My goodness.
Aww.
Wow.
Oh, shoot. Well, your check is in the mail, because I feel like you were just like, okay, somebody must have paid you to say that.
No, nobody pays me, honey. I just call it like I see it.
So, oh, that's really sweet. Really sweet, man. Like I said, I can't take full credit for it.
Amen, sister. All right, so you ready with your words?
Oh, I am. you know, I started talking about it when I was talking about the whole major versus indie thing. But, you know, as a young artist, particularly as young women, we have to be careful about how we present ourselves and how we allow ourselves to be presented. And I think that the only way that that can happen is for us to be our authentic selves, because so many times people will come along and they say they believe in what you, they believe in your dream and they believe in you and all that kind of stuff. But there's sometimes an ulterior motive, either because they want to kick it with you or they, you know, want other stuff. And unfortunately things, you know, our judgment gets clouded and potentially that leaves the window open or the door open for someone to come along and kind of place on you what they think should be your image or your style of music or whatever it is. And I say that from not so much from a personal standpoint as far as someone coming in and telling me that, but part of the reason why it took me so long to get on, if you will, is because people told me I wasn't pretty enough or I wasn't skinny enough or I wasn't light enough or my voice was too heavy or, you know, the list just goes on. And had I listened to all of that, I wouldn't be who I am right now, because I wouldn't be my true self, because I would have done everything possible to try to fit into that little box that they were trying to place me in. And in spite of the financial struggles that come along with being an indie artist, you know, the other struggles that may come along, you know, your own personal life and all these different things, at the end of the day, I can say without question that I am my authentic self. And, you know, the music that comes out, the whatever I wear, whatever I do, I can go to sleep at night knowing, okay, I haven't changed my family. I've done what has been in my heart to do. And, you know, in addition to that, I think that particularly as an indie artist, we need not to look at the, like I said, all the things that glitter and, you know, all that kind of stuff and focus on that as that being your goal, you know, for doing this. I personally think that in order to have the heart to continue to do this and continue to grind, you have to have another reason to do it. And for me, my reason is because I love to do it. And, you know, it's in my heart to do it. And that way I'll never be swayed by someone luring, you know, money in my face to take me out of my character just for the sake of some money. You know, I just feel like that's so important. And so with that being said, instead of being focused on, you know, the money and stuff that people might try to throw at you, I think it's important for us to make a determination as to what our level of success is. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to be able to sell a million records and get a platinum plaque and all of that. But, you know, when I sold my first two records outside of my family, that right there was a success to me.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't broke even yet, but, you know, it was success to me because, you know, I reached two extra people outside of my family. And mm-hmm. I think that we have to, you know, we have to celebrate those
yes.
small steps, those small strides, because, you know, every single step, it adds up, you know, and when you're on your journey, you've got to count every single baby step that you make. So I hope that reaches somebody that, you know, that's in this thing, because it's not easy.
No, it's
definitely
not
easy. And
know,
as a woman,
I'm sure that it
as a woman and a business owner, and that's the other thing I want to say, and this is definitely not to male bash, but as a woman in the business, like I said, you got to wear all those different hats. But unfortunately, when you're about your business, people want to label you a bee or a witch because you're about your business. If it was a man doing the same thing, then they would just be like, oh, he's just a staunch businessman. But as a woman, you have to be that way, particularly because it's a male-dominated industry. And in order to get things done and to not be clouded by all the other stuff that comes along with people wanting to get with you and all of that, sometimes you got to play hardball in order to get things happen. So, you know, oh, and one more thing, I'm sorry. The other thing that every single artist needs to do is get the business end under your belt. You know, it's great to have the talent, but you've got to have some type of business sense. Because at the end of the day, yes, creativity is great, but in order for you to, you know, get your contracts and to get your money, you got to make sure that the business end is right. You know, I'm not saying you got to be a financial broker, but you definitely got to be able to handle your business in that end. So,
well,
that's just the touch of the surface. There's so many other things, but those are the things that come to mind.
Well, in a short period of time, right? Listen, mm-hmm. that, you gave some excellent advice, and the beautiful thing about the things that you said is that they are just not exclusive to the music industry. They're pretty much
absolutely
the way it is in business and in life in general. So
mm-hmm.
I think everybody can take something away from what you said.
Well, I hope so. I hope that it was meant for somebody that's listening, and they, you know, they're able to walk away with it. Because I say the same thing to the younger people in my family. You know, young people go to school and then they decide they're going to take a semester off from school. They're like, oh, I'm just going to work. But I stress it to all of them. If you have to just take one class mm-hmm. per semester, continue to do that till you get it done. Because yeah. otherwise, you know, life kicks in. You might have mm-hmm. kids. You might have a family. And it's even harder to go back to school yes. to do that. And even people in the industry, I suggest that, like I said, if you, you know, get the business under wraps, you get that straight, go to school and get a, you know, get a some kind of certification in business. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's no harm in doing that. And being an awesome singer, songwriter, producer, or whatever, I think that can only add value to your brand.
Definitely. Okay, lady, tell everybody where they can find your music.
Well, you can find my music at cdbaby.com, iTunes, Amazon, you know, of course, any show that I'm at, I have product with me. You can even go to my Facebook page. Like I said, it's Terry Tobin, T-E-R-I-T-O-B-I-N. You can go to my fan page, and you can actually buy it directly off of there.
Oh, cool.
There's an app that allows you to buy it directly from there. So that's where you can get me. Like I said, you can get me on Facebook, get me on Twitter. Terry Tobin is here. Instagram is Terry Tobin is here as well. My website is terrytobin.com. You know, but if you, you know, you hit me on Facebook, I'm there all the time, probably more than I should be. But, but you know, I'd love for people to reach out and like I said, we talk about, you know, if something touches them or, you know, they have a question about a song or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just, you know, I'm all about being able to connect with people because that's what keeps me still doing this thing.
Well, I have to tell you, it has been a pleasure talking to you and listening to you. You're so in line with the way I think that it's like scary almost. But I love it. I love it. And I want you to come back when you finish your next project.
Absolutely. I'll absolutely be back.
Thank you so much, and happy Mother's Day to you, and thank you for spending
this time. Thank you, and thank you for having me, and shout out to Stevie Soul for making this happen, and we definitely will talk to you again soon.
All right, love, and we're going to listen to your cover of Making Love in the Rain as we say bye-bye to you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
it's always the same.